What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pete.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on? It's Matt or Haz to bring you another edition of Tweak Talks. All four of us in the build. Hey, we've been consistent with it, okay? Hold on. You know, we were ultra consistent. It was COVID and we weren't going anywhere or doing anything, going outside, getting sick, or going to tournaments. We showed up every week. Now we're back on that flow, which I love to see. Love hanging out with you guys. What's going on, everyone? How you doing, Charles? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. Just getting a bunch of work done back at home. Still missing the throne. But we had some great Smash action at Don't Park this weekend. So it was really cool to see Spargo holding it down. How are you doing, Marcus?
The reason that half of us were here during COVID, or all of us are here now, is because we're sick. I'm sick. Gavin's sick. We're just over here dying. Like, what's going on?
I ain't sick. What up?
It's really bad.
You're in Hawaii. You're in a whole other world.
You're fucking sick in Hawaii?
No. It's impossible. That place is paradise.
Paradise, dude. No trouble in paradise.
I'm good. No, I'm just a little coughing. That's all. What's good, Matt?
Is your car still there? I think we need to do like a weekly car check. It's gonna suck 1 week if it's not there. Like this is a funny bit, and it's like, wait, actually, hold on.
Actually,
I'm good. You wouldn't know it, but I had some dental work done, and I couldn't talk for like 2 days, and it really sucked for me. But I think was nice for everyone else, which is cool. I told my dentist before she started doing work on me, I was like, this is a Smashy award winning mouse, so please be very careful. She's like, oh, I see you have the premium dental insurance. Like, I'm like, it's very important. But
and you had your Smashy with you at the dentist.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, I have it in my car just in case. Yeah, you get pulled over. You know, you got to get a ticket or something. Like,
Before I grab my ID, let me move my Smashy real quick. And then the cop will be, oh, you're a Smashy. Ooh, award.
Oh, there. Hold on. Well, usually it's when I roll the window down. They're like, oh, excuse me. You know,
it's the first thing you're just showing them. Like,
oh my God, dude. TK was like, I cannot believe the mileage you're getting out of that Smashy. I was like, I'm never going to stop, bro. I think I'm buried with that thing. That's how it's going to work. But I'm good. I'm on the mend. Still can't eat like hard food and stuff, so I'm like still recovering, but I'm glad I can speak and like hang out a little bit, because it was seriously just like sitting here silently and miserable. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you were silent during that throne meeting after, man.
Dude, that sucks. So yeah, we had a throne meeting and I was just like typing all my thoughts. I was like, I can't take it anymore, and I could like feel the stitches in my mouth like pulling as I talked. I was like, I need to say this shit though. I just need to. I gotta say it. Gav, how you doing?
Not good.
That's right.
still sick.
You're sick.
Yeah, I'm getting concerned because I will be traveling soon and I'm not feeling any better, so we'll see.
I'm glad you're saying it on the podcast because we can hear it in your voice.
Right, you have records now saying like, look, I was sick.
Oh, you can tell with my voice?
You definitely sound different. Yes, yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And we all hope you get well soon, Gavin.
Yeah, it's been terrible. Shouts to B, like seriously, she is the best ever for helping me out, because some of these days I literally sleep like 18 hours.
You are sick. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's probably the second worst sickness I've ever had in my life.
Holy crap.
The worst sickness I ever had was during like pandemic. I had mono and COVID at the same time. That was the worst ever. I genuinely at one point thought I was going to die, not trolling. Yeah, but this is second. But I
first
did
being thought you were going to die. Like
I did watch Dome Park and I had a pretty good time watching it. I kind of want to play Smash, which is cool, because I haven't wanted to play Smash in like a month or two. So shouts to Don't Park for inspiring me a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't have many updates. Like, I've been struggling like heavily.
You're in the coffin, man. You're in the coffin. Because you just look at, to attest to all that, I have a message from you. The 16th, which is what? Saturday at 2:30 in the morning, you said hello, and I said, what up, Ma? And then the next day, you messaged me and said, want to play Smash at 8:30 p.m. Like, you just disappeared for all 16 hours. Like, it was just completely gone. you did hit me up to play Smash. I was like, damn, that's all. I was busy that night, so I couldn't. But I was so excited that you said that. I was like, damn, is he back? Is he back? There you go. And you're playing well at Throne anyway, despite all that. Well, not well, aside from, you know, Sunday was a... Speaking of Sunday, it was a tough day for you in terms of how you were playing. And we got a great Patreon question this week about what is the funniest or best John you've ever heard? So we're going to be answering that question on the Patreon content, as well as, I'm not saying Gavin's is the funniest I've ever heard. It is up there, but it's not the funniest. So Patreon content is going to be answering that question. And if you are a patron, please feel free to ask us questions. They are great questions. Like, we love answering our Patreon questions. And the other thing we'll be doing probably today, if not on another episode, is someone made a video of a highlight reel from the Throne, all the commentary highlights, which is super cool. I was saying before we started the call here, I can't remember the last time someone made a commentary highlight reel from an event. And I think it was a summit is probably it. So that kind of meant a lot to me and the Throne staff to see something like that organically pop up, because I don't know who this person is who made it, or they just did it because they wanted to, because they thought we put on a cool event. And that means a lot to me and everyone else on the Throne. So that was a W. So go to patreon.com/tweettalks and we'll cover, if not some of that stuff, all that stuff, and ask us some questions because we love to answer them.
So I do know the person that made that video.
Oh, it's really?
SoCal Smasher named Shinta.
And well, that's less cool because you know them.
Yeah. And then I used to go to a lot of tournaments with Shinta back in like Smash 4. I don't know if he still competes in Ultimate tournaments, but he was a Pikachu player.
You're making it so uncool. It was so much
cooler. Pikachu player in Ultimate.
This unknown person, a big fan, but they know you, Charles. That's okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Shinta.
Yeah, great video, which hopefully we'll be watching, which is hilarious. And Gavin's actually, the three of us that were on there are on it. Gavin's commentary already gotten a highlight reel. Rose putting up a highlight reel already, which is
golly. Unreal.
He's got the commentator gene. We know
all my Wimby stuff.
Oh my god. It's all in skinny true.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie commentator of the year, Gavin. Okay.
Honestly, maybe. What was I gonna say? All right, don't park. Easiest talking point in my life, Louis fucking money, bro. Like, goddamn. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so fun to watch.
Fantastic.
Marathon Man, and I forget when he tweeted this out, but at one point he was like, I can't handle any more of these game fives, and then proceeded to have like six of them or whatever, like almost back to back to back. An incredible run. And I feel like we say this about Luis all the time, where it's like he's so close so many times to having a run like this. And then he did it, and it almost continued. Like, it almost wasn't over, aside from that up smash against Mia. Like, he was playing almost perfectly. Like, game five against Beastly. I don't know if you watched that set, Gavin, but I was really impressed by some of the shit that Beastly was doing, for sure. Yeah, I thought it was a good set. I mean, game five against Luis is good. But then Beastly kind of gets... Game five was good for Luis, is what I'd say. Game five against Tora, the Ike player from Japan. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a fantastic player. Game five against MVD. Tough set. We all know how MVD plays Snake very patiently. Game four and five against Shuton were super clutch. He went game five against Shuton, but it was super clutch stuff game four and five. And then he went game five against Ken, which was a run back from earlier where he lost 3-1.
The Shuton one was crazy, bro. What a set.
Yes.
Dude, I couldn't tell. Yes, that's what, dude, the number one note I had is I love when he stepped on the gas. Like, he just knew, like, he was so confident in so many spots on the map, but especially going off stage. And that was back airs against Shuton, against Olimar. And that, dude, the down air against Ken to start off the game five, that sequence was, that was fucking beautiful. Like, that was some amazing ultimate that he did to dunk Ken Sephiroth to start off that game five. That was just, he even popped off in the camera. I loved it. He was amazing.
I love the usage of down tilt. I know, Luis, something that he's been wanting to work on is his advantage state. I feel like that has definitely shown. We saw a lot more risks, a lot more trapping, especially with up airs, especially like platform tech chasing, I think is particularly broken with Palutena because, you know, you cover practically the whole platform and it's multi-hit too. So even if you kind of go the wrong direction, you can swivel it over to the another direction or just kind of rainbow the platform, right? And just cover everything. So yeah, saw a lot of that. Great advantage state, and I love the risks that we saw Luis take off stage. And I think I already mentioned this, but the down tilt usage, especially against, I don't know if the commentators mentioned this, but so they mentioned that Luis has a 3-0 record on Chuton. And something to note is that NorCal is very experienced versus Olimar. That's probably one of their more comfort matchups is Olimar. Yeah. Even like early Ultimate, I would say Diddy Kong was another one because of Legit. I don't know how active Legit is nowadays, but he used to be a Diddy Kong player, a top Diddy Kong player in NorCal for Smash 4 and early Ult. So, yeah. And then they have a ton of Olimar experience up in NorCal's where there's a lot of really good Olimar players. So, I was actually surprised Chuton stuck it out with the Olimar and how good Chuton was doing with the Olimar. But I think Luis started picking up on certain habits. And I mean, the way Chuton recovers, Chuton's disadvantage with Olimar, I think what puts Chuton above the rest of Olimar players is his disadvantage state. He's very clever when it comes to recovering. And he usually the disadvantage state doesn't look as bad when Chuton's playing Olimar, but be assured, Olimar has practically no options and disadvantage. So it's very impressive that Chuton is able to make Olimar look not as bad in disadvantage. But yeah, the edge guards were so on point with Luis for a lot of the sets. I feel like he clutched out so many sets with almost all in or close to all in edge guards, or at least I'm giving up my turn edge guards where it's like, okay, you're going to grab the ledge first if I miss this, and then you get the ledge trap and stuff like that.
I'll say it, bro. Olimar is one of the most balanced, like, relevant characters, if not the most balanced character, like, in the game. Like, that character is...
That's a really good point.
...is balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
I used to be an Olimar hater, like, back before he got nerfed. Then he got nerfed, and I had no idea where he's going to end up, so I kind of stopped thinking about him. But where we are now, I actually really enjoy the character. Like, he used to be on that list of characters I hated to commentate, mostly because they were just fishing for up smash and they'd get 90 and then just kill you and like that was it and camp you out. Some of that still applies today, but it's not quite as strong as
year one. Olimar was rough.
That shit was crazy, bro. I mean, he still has great damage per second, but it was fucking wild for sure. It looked so unfair is the way I'd say it. But
I mean, the character was overtuned before.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's all be clear. And if you're new to Ultimate, Olimar severely got nerfed. Like, the most nerfed characters in the history of Ultimate are probably, like, Olimar Pichu and Pichu. Olimar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those two. So those two characters got, I wouldn't say nerfed to the ground, but they got hit really hard. So Olimar also used to just be unfair. So watching something unfair can kind of get old after a while. Whoopsie.
All good.
Watching something unfair can get older after a while if I lagged up. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, just a little bit. I was going to say, but now, like, so people would ask me, they'd be like, oh, are you bummed like an Olimar got voted into the throne? Like, do you think that? I'm like, no, I really like that. I really enjoy watching the character now. I think Olimar players are cool in this day and age. Like, he's been a fun character to watch. I thought when Ultimate started, I was like, I'm going to hate this character forever for sure to watch and to cast and to play against. Don't care anymore. I think he's cool, and I definitely enjoy the character. And I would say he got nerfed, and he became, like Gavin said, very honest. And then there are greater evils out there as far as Ultimate is concerned. So I enjoy the player base. I enjoy how he plays. Easiest character in the world to commentate. What he's going to do is literally right in fucking front of you if you know how to look at colors and understand them. that's it. Like, it's so easy, dude. The thing – okay, can you all explain to me, why do people get hit by purple Pikmin at the ledge so much? I feel like that, why, like wait, when Olimar's recovering and he just throws a purple, I feel like so many people get hit by that. It's like, dude, you're giving up everything. It happens so much this tournament. And what's, like, am I missing something here? I kept getting so frustrated.
There's a lot of situations like that. There's Min Min Arms, there's Duck Hunt Can, there's, like, a Falco Wolf shooting a laser before they recover. It's just... So, a lot of the time, even shielding those options is "quote unquote" incorrect because they are taking your frame advantage for the ledge trap away from you to an extent. So, a lot of the time, they might be like getting greedy and like trying to. They want like a two frame and like they're going for the two frame knowing that they might get reversaled for it. Like it's just a lot of the time it's just greed because they're in advantage state. I feel like,
like
also like some players might be so focused on their positioning and their two frame attempt that they might not even be paying enough attention to their opponent. Like, to be honest. But yeah, there's a few factors, but it is a very interesting scenario. because a lot of players, they might at least shield those things without realizing that shielding is like also an option that the opponent is like would they like want. You to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like sometimes you just
pity bananas, and
especially
one.
Because you know it's coming. You're trying to like maneuver around it sometimes. And it just like the arc that the purple Pikmin covers is like really difficult for characters to like get under and hit him or get over and hit him. So sometimes like when they're trying to go, okay, well, here comes the purple Pikmin, they're trying to like get to the right spot, but it's just, it can be a little difficult sometimes. So also what Gavin said, of course, but
it's like understand
ego stuff for sure.
You know, like, what I'm saying, right? Stuff. Like, yeah. I feel like so many people got hit by it. It's so good for him. Like, if you get hit by that, you give up so much valuable positioning.
And you were just talking about how bad his disadvantage state is. So a lot of the time, he will do things to try to skip disadvantage altogether. So I understand where you're coming from. It's definitely something that if you're trying to win against Olimar, it should not happen for sure.
Feel like it happened a lot, and the reason I thought of it is because I think of my characters in those situations. Like when I throw a Hadouken on recovery with Ken and someone gets hit by it at ledge, I'm like, oh fuck yeah, like sweet, thanks, you know, like now I'm good to go. Like, and I was thinking with Olimar, I'm like, dude, this is happening a lot. Like it definitely shouldn't be, but I don't know. Yeah. That was just something I noticed.
I understand has his frustration for sure though, because throwing a purple back on a stage doesn't even feel like you're giving up anything. If anything, you're making your up B more maneuverable, you're getting and you're throwing the purple Pikmin on a stage. And I also think that the current ultimate player base is also just bad at damaging purples. Like there's so many times, and it like makes me want to rip my hair out, but there's like characters like Wolf, right, where if you dash back and someone throws a purple Pikmin, the purple Pikmin have lag. Like they flop onto the ground, they have to get back up, and then they walk back to Olimar. But it's yeah, the flop, dude.
They do belly flop.
And the thing is, I always tell players that you need to view that as like a Rosalina and Luma. Like Luma shoots forward, but imagine Luma shoots forward and is lagging and can't attack you. And then a Wolf down. Now I know every character doesn't have a Wolf down tilt. It's a good move, but Wolf can down tilt the purple and kind of hit it, and then they suffer from hit stun too. So they have like a hit animation that they have to go through, and then they have to get up, and then they walk to Olimar. So it's like, I'm gonna keep down tilting your Pikmin until you approach me. And there are situations too where Olimar players will just have a purple just so they can purple into purple swing, so you don't have to rotate through multiple stuff. Particularly in that scenario, you should be fucking that purple Pikmin up. Like you should be destroying it. Now you shouldn't be doing really laggy moves, obviously, because then Olimar could like dash attack you or hit you for it. But there's so many times that player, like especially in the scenario where it's like, oh, okay, I have Olimar off stage, they're obviously going to throw the purples on stage, probably use their double jump to do so, and it's pretty safe, especially if they can throw two purples back to cover themselves, make the up be more maneuverable, and then by the time you try to do your ledge trap, the purples are coming back, or they can whistle them back, right? But in those scenarios where you know the purple is going to get thrown on the stage and Olimar's about to grab ledge, Olimar like literally can't even retaliate versus you if you just like throw a down air onto the purple Pikmin or something like that. But I just think it's something that is very difficult to do. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is a very easy thing to do because you're keeping track of multiple Pikmin, what's next on the lineup, where's Olimar. So it's not easy, but I feel like we're 5 or 6 years into the game and this character has been used for so like the entire lifespan of Ultimate. So it still surprises me that players aren't as good at pressuring purple Pikmin. There are players that do pressure it with really lagless aerials and stuff like that. So there are players that do it, but I'm just really surprised that we don't see more of it, especially in specific scenarios where you know for a fact the Olimar player is going to throw the purple, like when they're coming back to the ledge.
You know,
like, especially if you hit him at a high arc.
Us talking about these two situations reminds me of, I think it was Trade War. They made a tweet recently, like becoming a 2-2er in Ultimate is like, or like we underestimate how difficult it is to become a 2-2er in Ultimate. And like, bro might be right, because that is some really random, this is like higher level stuff for sure, but there's just a lot of like random information and knowledge that you need to have to succeed in this game sometimes. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think we come for a lot of times, especially because we've been doing it for so long, we come from the lens of like, bro, what? Like, you don't know this? You know what I mean? Like, because it's just like legacy knowledge and all that. But don't know. For some people, I would love to like try to learn something completely different, like Tekken or something from scratch with like, but even then it would be too difficult because we already have like the competitive mindset, right? We understand like learning how to play and like looking for win conditions, lose conditions, and like how to win at games. So I don't know, but it just reminded me that like there's a lot of people out there that's trying to be some two tours. Hey, shout out to y'all, because
Smash is the dumbest game ever, bro. It's impossible. It's Coney, impossible.
It's funny you say that because Coney and I actually had a talk about that. More him telling me about it, but he was talking about how much we take for granted as a community that we just kind of know and accept, like just very basic platform fighter things that we haven't thought about in 10 plus years. Yep. Just watching people try to move over to Rivals and play that, it's like they don't even know to go to the ledge or like try to bypass it, or like even those things that we all kind of think about passively, it's not even like an active thought that has crossed their minds yet. Which is, to be fair, that's like why I love platform fighters. Like when I first started getting into playing Smash, like when I saw those concepts and things in action, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't even think about the game in this way, which is so cool. And I think something, in my opinion, that Smash does so well organically, like feeds you, like you're able to grow and learn with the game as you watch it or see what other people do to find success. And it's like, holy shit, I never thought about doing something in this way. Which is so cool. But I think we take some of that shit for granted. And yeah, just kind of bring it back. The only reason I thought of that is because, you know, we talk about how bad Olimar's disadvantage state. He's a light character. He dies easily off the side. And it's like you just walk into a purple and then just, if I'm Olimar, man, I'm feeling so fucking good that you just took that face first. Now you're on the other side of the stage. I'm walking out. See you later. It's just like Belmont, man. Like I throw a cross and someone gets hit by the ledge. Great. I've never felt better in my life. Like, and it says something to me that you're not prepared for the matchup. You know what I mean? Like it just, it's not only am I getting out of not only does it help my disadvantage in that moment, but I'm like, like that's definitely something to note. Like how much do you know something or not? But I don't know. I didn't prepare to talk about this or anything. I just remembered it as we were talking about it. It's kind of pissed me off all weekend. So many people were getting hit by purples at the ledge. I know I'm not saying it's free or anything, but it is a critical part of the matchup that you need to.
You can like throw out preemptive hitboxes. Like from full hop, and as you're falling from full hop height, you just throw out like a lingering hitbox because if they throw the purple, you don't get hit by the purple.
You'll clank out
and
with
if,
it, right?
And if they don't throw the purple, then you're in the position you wanted to be anyway. So like all you got to do is that, really, because it's not like Olimar is going to like randomly drift in a different way, or like he's not going to like burst at you or anything. Like all you have to do, like it's literally all you have to do there.
Of course, the answer is fucking mash and ultimate. All right. All right, Gavin. Yeah. Just mash Nair, bro. Just Nair.
Literally just mash a full hop falling Nair and you're good.
There you go. Well, I mean, that's great insight. Just being something that covers both options. You're still safe because, correct me if I'm wrong, if you shield the purple Pikmin while they're doing the bounce away animation, you can't hit them, right? Like after they bounce off your shield.
I don't think you can land first, like on the ground.
That's to my understanding. And I'm also not 100% sure on parry. I don't know if you parry the purple Pikmin, if you can hit it, and if it does some different animation. And I mean, like we're saying, a lot of these characters, not a lot, but Olimar is definitely one of those matchup check characters. Like if you don't have Olimar in your region and then you travel out to a regional or a big tournament and you fight Olimar, you're fucked. Like
that's
you're
just the EU.
Yeah, there's
all the Europeans, man.
There's so many players that have come up to me. And they're like, oh shit, I'm going up against Olimar. I have no Olimar experience. What do I do? I'm like, I can tell you what to do, but you're not going to be able to do it. Like, there's like some players that I can tell them very intricate things, but it's like super experienced, top player, top talent that I've coached that is able to apply it that fast. But I would say 99% of players that I would tell them like, oh, hey, the Pikmin rotate like this. The arrow is the next one. There's certain moves that they use to rotate the Pikmin. There's down smash, which rotates two Pikmin. So sometimes you have to keep track of the third Pikmin in the lineup, because if they down smash and then they have a blue as the third Pikmin, but you didn't notice that, they can like down smash. They can down smash into grab. And then if you didn't keep track of third Pikmin, there's like so much matchup stuff. And I mean, all the players are going to take advantage of that, right? And like you were saying, talking about Belmonts, right? Obviously not a popular character. And there are certain things that if you notice someone's doing, you have to take advantage. Like if someone normal gets up into Holy Water, like, all right, GG's, like, dumbass. Like, okay,
you gotta do that every time, guys. It's the best option.
It works so, most of the time. You know what? It's so funny because it's like anti, it's like no one's gonna get up and do it. You're not ready. You're like, oh shit. And then they fall out because it's a terrible move. I was gonna say, Candle, too. I think Candle benefited a lot from similar Olimar stuff where they were able to get down Smash Shield Break several times actually throughout Throne 2. So I'm excited to see where what Olimar's going to cook up in the future. A lot of great pilots on that character, like I said. I love watching Shuton play, obviously. Candle impressed me very, very much at Throne 2. MFA, too, actually had a really good tournament.
Yeah.
Beat Big D, I think, in a game 5. I just really enjoyed watching MFA play. Very, very clean Olimar play. So I never thought I'd say it, but I'm kind of an Olimar fan. So there it is.
Olimar is having this weird uptick recently.
I kind of blame you for this one, Gavin, because I played against your Olimar a lot and I was like, oh, now I kind of get it, and it's not quite as annoying as I thought.
My Olimar,
I mean, I guess Olimar does well against a lot, does well against Snake, does well against Sonic, apparently.
Against Snake.
Oh, ooh.
What can I ask? Oh, no. What is your plan going forward against Snake? Do we know?
No, there's none.
I'm sorry.
That might be the worst matchup ever, bro. Holy.
It's hard. It's legitimately hard to watch.
I genuinely think it's worse than Diddy Steve. And I'm not kidding.
But you said you weren't going to say that.
I said,
is it worse than Duck Hunt?
I said I wasn't going to say it publicly, but it's closer to Duck Hunt than it is to other things. Like, I have no idea what to do.
Snake to me is like, oh, if Duck Hunt was top tier, boom. Look at all this crazy stream data. And
I thought you worked out all the. I thought you worked out all the problems with this matchup with Lade. Come on, what happened,
bro? He literally went, "Oh, I yeah, this matchup sucks."
at least Lade learned that the matchup sucked.
Someone learned something. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes. Back to all the right, chat.
Do we believe you just brought him back up? Do we believe Paolo can do it, bro?
Who?
I still don't believe, bro.
Really?
Paolo.
Paolo Tena.
She could always do it.
Nope. Yeah, come on now. Nope. That's ridiculous. Why not?
Do you think Paolo falls under the same category as Lucina, where it's just kind of like,
no,
you
gotta win? No.
Oh, okay.
No. I think she falls under, this is going to sound really stupid because Cola just won twice this year. I think she falls under the Roy category.
And Spargo plays Roy against Sonics.
What the? I mean, that's one. That's one set.
That does count. That no, dude. That no, definitely like, means something.
No, like Solo Paolo through an entire bracket.
I think Solo Paolo can do it. Well, what matchups are going to stop Paolo, or is it just you have to work super hard, or what? What is your perspective, Pink? Of
you that joint, to you got to be locked in for. Well, one day for like an if it's an eight, potential A tier, it could be one day, but like 10 sets in one day? Can you be that locked in against some of the stuff in this game? Nah.
Do you just think there's too much room for error? Whereas like the other characters, you can kind of fuck up, but they have some dumb bullshit where it's like, oh, okay, well, I fucked up, but it's okay because I just do this and win.
Yep.
I mean, that's
crazy. Thank God Marcus said this because our Sephiroth tier placement is no longer our worst opinion.
But hold. Paolo, I will say, can fight Sonic, has the ground speed, has like a dash attack, right? Like, I think that's a huge plus. And I also think Paolo does great against Game & Watch, or do you guys think that's an outdated take? Because, I mean, that's kind of been like the...
She does perfectly fine.
Fine to me, yeah.
So Cloud, it's weird because...
Cloud is bad.
It's only one
cloud. Is Cloud bad? I think Spargo was Aegis for Paolo.
Oh. Her worst relevant matchup that comes to my mind is Diddy Kong.
Okay.
Rats was typically something that was brought up a lot, but they're not.
I'm not too sure about Joker Paolo. Joker kind of has like a low silhouette, so I mean.
I think Joker does beat Paolo, yes.
I think so too.
Yeah, I get your point, though. It's not because of a matchup thing. I get Marcus's point. It's not a matchup thing or anything like that. And if you kind of put Paolo in a vacuum, it's like, obviously, this character could win a major in terms of just the matchup spread and how good the character is. But it's like, okay, can a human being fight up against everyone else that is playing all these other characters that have way easier outs in a tournament environment, right, where you don't have to be as locked in or as clean. Yeah.
From my opinion, Gavin hates Paolo. Gavin Hayes Palace.
From my perspective, I have won with Solo Diddy Kong many times. Mm-hmm. And Solo Poly was better than Solo Diddy Kong, in my opinion. So,
this kind of sounds like, you know, Charles talks about how Zero Suit's like one of the most broken.
Y'all couldn't even think of a losing matchup for her. What do you mean? Why is that questionable?
Oh, I said rats instantly. What?
Okay, I can give you double digit hard matchups for Solo Diddy Kong. Like,
yeah, but they're what?
It starts with Duck Hunt.
Solo Palu is so much better.
I think so too. Hey, don't. Well, I don't know about.
I think
so
Diddy
better,
wins. But I think Diddy wins the matchups. He wins harder than Palu wins the matchups. She wins.
Okay, but there's still more dangerous things you're gonna run into, and they're relevant.
Yeah, but like, okay, so if you run into like a Joker, for example, right? You're probably like, I just win. Right, but like a Palu can run into plenty of barely winning matchups, and it's still like, oh snap! Like this is going to be tough for me. It just makes the bracket run a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I guess. But
yeah,
in my head,
got him.
Like Solo Palutena is a stronger option.
Okay, this is actually something that I believe is more of a traditional Smash thinking because we're from like Brawl Smash 4. And I think in Brawl and Smash 4, you definitely wanted characters that, okay, I pretty much even, or I mean, just think of Smash 4 meta characters, right? You slightly beat, or this is before the reckoning of Bayonetta, but the meta characters in Smash 4 were like, okay, I either just straight up beat these crap characters. I have a slightly winning matchup versus a lot of the top and high tiers. And my worst matchup is either even or maybe slightly losing. And maybe that's like three or four matchups, right? And that those characters were very popular, very strong in the Brawl and Smash 4 era. But it feels like in Ultimate, there's so many characters. It almost feels like you want to roll the dice with certain characters where it's like, well, I'm omega fucked if I hit this, this, or this
if
in bracket.
If my bracket's good, then I just win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. And it almost feels like that's better in Ultimate, or I don't know if it's better, but because like it, because even Steve is so weird because Steve is, you know, one of, if not the strongest character in the game, but does have losing matchups, right?
Yeah, I'd even say, Charles, like, the old way of thinking is so tough in Ultimate because there's so many meta-relevant characters. Like, any bracket on any day, you could run into a good player of pretty much any character, depending on which major it is, where it is, et cetera, et cetera. So it's tough to even be like, oh, solo this character is better than solo that character. It's like, well, sure, but, like, two of the best players in the world right now are co-maining anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter. Or, for the most part, trying out two characters. I don't remember the last time
I
saw
co-maining me. I'm co-maining starting today.
What, Olimar?
Olimar, baby.
It's time to beat up Snake.
Well, hold on.
Wait, let me call Blade. Olimar. You can play against him. He goes Olimar.
Wait, are you sure you're going to have, like, the mind to micromanage all three of your Pikmin? It is not a
okay, that was a fair thing to say when it was Brawl, and it was random, and it was six.
StarCraft
Micro.
Galaxy Brain.
Oh, no, Macro, StarCraft Macro.
He knows three colors. He's the smartest guy in the Smash community. Well, hold on now. What the fuck were we talking about? Luis, back to Luis. Not only did I love his aggression, but I also loved how in clutch moments, he was not afraid to wait for an option. He waited for air dodges against Mia in that last game 5. He waited for air dodges and waited for defensive options so often throughout the bracket. I just love the way he played. I thought it was fantastic. He won doubles. Fan of that. He's got a great smile. So he's just winning all over the place. And I think, man, that game 5 against Mia was a heartbreaker. I thought he had it.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to say.
It brought some energy out of me. I've been so dead lately, but I started to like actually like yell while I was watching. Like,
oh snap!
Yeah,
wow,
it was a good set.
You've been teaming with him recently.
Yeah, he's just a good guy. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, he asked me to do doubles, and I've just been saying yes, and it's been a good warm up for singles. And he's also just like one of the best doubles players. So, and Paul is one of the best doubles characters as well. It's actually kind of insane how good
she is. Might be the best doubles character. That character is insane
in doubles.
And I just ask, like, I've been so out of the doubles loop that I just like ask him some questions. Apparently, like, Steve is ridiculous in doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, like, he thinks double Steve is like insane. So there's that. But it's just like a different universe. I just get to learn some new things.
Double Meta Knight's back.
We never talk about doubles on the podcast, man. I think it's just a different culture, dude. It really is. Like even in Melee, I feel like no one really Spencer talks about doubles anymore.
One of the best doubles teams of all time, bro.
Goats.
That team and Chag Spargo are like doubles goats.
Bro, that team.
That team's crazy. Yeah.
And they both have the same character. Haha.
Palu is in there. But Diddy Kong in doubles, I don't know.
I don't know, bro.
That's the I'm supposed to just don't play Wario or something.
He's an ISO character, bro.
It just one-on-one. There's so many questions you ask yourself, like, is banana even useful here? Should I pull it? Like
that's bad.
It's like I don't know.
Not a double scare.
He has good frame data, he can hold his own, he has a good recovery, all that stuff, but like I don't know what I'm doing.
He has little end lag on his throws, which is
I have
also
such good frame data that like if you hit them to me, like I got you, I'll hit them back. I'll hit them back to you.
But you won't kill him.
But you won't kill him.
Oh, I'm not doing any of that. No. I'm honest.
See, that's why you go Wario in doubles. You gotta have a doubles
character. Characters, bro. That's why I want to see you. I was happy obviously it didn't work out against Hurt, but I was glad you tried Sephiroth at the end. I knew you were also going through it, so
yeah, I don't know that it felt like it was not even worth because I haven't played Sephiroth in so long, but
yeah,
but the Diddy matches were not going well. So it's like Diddy
Snake is like, I mean, I actually like have ideas, but
right, but not in that moment where you're gonna just be like, okay, I'm gonna figure out this matchup right now. It's just
I have ideas for next time, but I don't think they're gonna work.
I don't know if I've ever heard you say that.
Now. Yeah. Did you notice at the post-game interview?
It's looking really, really bad.
We had Naru, the translator, up there, and I asked Ken. I asked Hurt what he thought about you going Sephiroth, and he said he has Sephiroth experience, so he felt better about you going Sephiroth than Diddy.
Yeah. It did feel like that in the moment, especially with, like, not playing Sephiroth, like, at all.
He didn't realize I was getting you information.
So it's like I have no idea. I do have a couple ideas, but like it's gonna be difficult.
All right, one of the YouTube comments, just tell Tweak to play PT.
Oh, okay.
Snake.
I thought you were saying
that sounds terrible.
You can down air when he up knees. Okay, hear me out. When he ciphers low, you can do that down air move, and it's like poof, and then he's gone.
If Diddy can get Snake to be in a scenario where I like down air him, it feels great, but like
it never happens. You have to win neutral first.
Like if I like throw him off stage and he double jumps and I'm like somehow meeting him with a down air, like that's the only way to kill Snake. The only way. I don't know. It's not a good matchup. And it feels like it's worse than it was a couple months ago. So, to be fair, I haven't studied it. I haven't talked with anyone about it. I'll look into it for next time. And I do have ideas, but I'm not very hopeful. There's some other matchups, like I've been saying, like that's why I think Snake is worse. Like, a lot of the other matchups I've hated for a long time, I feel pretty good about them right now. Like, Steve. I very specifically, like, very recently, I made developments on Wario. And, like, there's some bad matchups that were bad for so long that might not even be losing anymore. Like, Olimar and Wolf. Like
Pac-Man,
Pac-Man is bad.
You beat T, bro.
But I've been winning it in bracket, so.
And you beat JDV,
Ice Climbers, I think I made a lot of developments in that matchup. But there's some matchups that have been really bad that I also haven't been studying. Snake is a big one. Rosa is a pretty bad one that I need to actually work on, that I never actually work on.
When was the last time you played Luigi?
Yeah, that's another one that I'm personally uncomfortable and I don't study it. I did watch Ryo play Raru and win that game 5. It feels like it's one of those sets though, like one of those matchups, like it's like very close calls, but like either character can win. Yeah, I don't know. Like Rosa comes to mind. That's like a bad one. I kind of want to look at some other characters.
You know, it's wild. It's crazy to me that there's so many players that are either losing the snake or, I mean, obviously Hurt's making a ton of waves, right? And I just feel like Hurt has elevated Snake to even to the point where even Brawl vets are like, oh damn, what the fuck? Like, what do you do?
He's right? Nasty, and, bro.
Yes, it is so sick to see Hurt elevate this character to the point where it's just like
it's people are dangerous
like, what the fuck does this character feel like? Just I can't get this character into disadvantage. I can't get this character onto the cipher, or even the way Hurt DIs certain moves too. Like there's a lot of times where he DIs up, so he just double jump up B's and you cannot do anything. Like you just got to catch him on the juggle and he's gonna have a Nikita and a C4 and like B reverse or not B reverse grenade. I mean, just that mix up alone is pretty powerful. And yeah, all I gotta say is timeout Snake, dude.
That's Hero is a big problem for me.
It was timeout Snake the whole time.
I need to figure out Hero. Fox is, it feels harder than usual. I'm not kidding.
Fox is kind of like armor, right? Bad playing, recovery, balanced.
You've been playing light recently?
Yeah, when we play friendlies, he's been cheating. Tournaments, it's been like ridiculous.
Yeah, he's been cheating recently.
It's been rough, yeah.
Light has been doing very well recently.
Bro, it's been, I don't know what's going on.
I mean, when a Fox player is very on point and they hit like most of their tech chases on reaction with hard punishes, yeah, that character does look like it's cheating.
I do need to actually sit down and figure out Roy, but I've been doing a little bit better, so that's about it. Snake, dude.
Not that bad. What was that? That was like 9 characters.
That was a lot of characters.
Out of 80? I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Snake, dude.
Percentage-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I am is a Cloud Forward Air appreciator, as is my friend
Spargo. Fine appreciator.
What the Spargo hell, loves that dude. Move.
That move is stupid.
Bro, that clip against Shuton, we carried him coast to coast, like, he just fared him.
In a row sometimes.
That shit was fire, to be honest. I was like, holy shit.
I love how Spargo uses fair to punish like spot dodges and like just panic options, like either a you know, air dodge or a spot dodge, just runs up to someone, starts the fair, and then they spot dodge. It's like, all right, boom.
There's a lot of situations versus Mia where he had Mia like locked in place and he would just like float there and be terrifying. And then he'd finally do like the weird delayed forward air and Mia will get hit by it. Like it's clear that Spargo was just like really, really freaking Mia out to the point where Mia was just like not moving in neutral. That winner's final specifically comes to mind when we're talking about this because it was brutal. Mia really bounced back. He won the game 5 versus Luis, and grand finals was very competitive. So shouts to Mia for sure. And obviously shouts to Spargo. Spargo's the best player on the planet. If you say otherwise to me, I'm looking the other way and ignoring you. Spargo's the best player in the world. For sure.
I mean, he's definitely been proving it lately.
I don't care about any rankings. Like, well, he's definitely going to be one regardless on the ranking, but
what if he's not though?
That boy number
one. I told you. He's looking the other way. Yeah. You already know.
Absolutely. Spargo is the best player in the world. Shouts to that. Shouts to Cloud Strife being number one.
What a timeline.
Yeah.
Spargo's never been number one. He's always like number two, right?
Hey.
That's his favorite character.
It is his favorite character.
That's my favorite Charles joke. Or one of my favorite Charles jokes, I should say. You guys know about that?
I was trying to hype him up, dude.
Do you know about this, Marcus?
Nope.
Chat? Oh my god. So, was it which summit was it? 6? 5?
It was Spargo's first major win.
Yeah.
So that is why I was so hyped, because I've personally watched Spargo since he competed in online 2GG tournaments in Smash 4. So I've I've seen from the beginning, and then he started showing up as he got older, going to offline events and SoulCon stuff. So I was very hyped to see him. I mean, one of Spargo's first big wins in Ultimate was at a Wednesday Night Fights versus Void's Pichu, when Void was like a top five, top 10 player. Yeah. So
he wins the Summit, and he's popping off. So Summit obviously had the upstairs where everyone was playing, and then downstairs is so. When you win Summit, everyone goes apeshit downstairs. They're yelling about it. Everyone's going crazy. Spargo's jogging downstairs. And Charles has the line to deliver. And he's like, Spargo, you just won your first major. And you did it with your favorite character. And
That's so sick.
And then Spargo does nothing. He just totally, absolutely says nothing to Charles. He just did not care at all. Like, you did it with your favorite character.
Tried to hype him up, man.
You did a great job, and he just stared at you. It was awesome,
bro. It is very funny.
Someone find
Chris. If you want to pull it up, it's actually my pin on my commentary reel. It's the first clip.
Is it really?
I did not. It's the first clip on my commentary reel that's pinned on my account or my Twitter account, yeah, or my X account.
Sorry,
he's coughing.
I think that about wraps it up. If y'all want to get into Patreon,
yeah, sure.
And you got to do it with your favorite
character.
He just stares at you, dude. It's so funny. Please watch that.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. I've had like side combos with Spargo, but I've never asked him like, oh, like, why didn't you say anything to me? I don't know if he was just like so overwhelmed that it was his first major win or what.
What the fuck are you yelling about?
Why is this guy yelling at me?
Charles, can you calm down, please?
Yeah. Fuck up. Just another day in the office for Spargo. He knew, dude, at that point. Yeah, damn. Don't Park was good. I think Gavin's trying to get out of here. We're going to do some Patreon content, right, Gavin?
Yeah, sorry. I'm not feeling well, but I think it was a good episode.
Yeah,
Dome Park was a great event. I think Melee was fantastic too. I watched a lot of Melee. Yeah, have a good one.